Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to review two movies. One is F9, Fast and Furious 9, but they called it F9 to be cool or something. And also, Better Luck Tomorrow. Now, David, why are you reviewing this random movie that came out a long time ago? Well, here's the deal. Better Luck Tomorrow, if you didn't know, is a secret origin story, or it's a secret Fast and the Furious movie. This is a movie that is directed by Justin Lin, the director of a lot of the Fast and Furious movies, and he directed this before he directed any of the Fast and Furious movies, and he created this character called Han, played by Sung Kang, or Kang, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that, but played by the actor who plays Han, and he took this character from his movie that he made. He made this movie in between the Fast and the Furious, the very first one, and Too Fast, Too Furious, the second one. And then when it came time for him to make his Fast and the Furious movie, he took this character out of that movie and he slipped it into Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, the third Fast and the Furious movie. And from there, he's gone on to direct a lot of the Fast and Furious movies. Han, as a character, has been in and out of the Fast and Furious movies for a while now. But now with the most recent movie, there's been all this, you know, crying out for justice for Han and all this kind of stuff. And so with them trying to do justice for Han with this movie, you know, that kind of, some of that stuff being in the marketing and stuff you've seen, they're trying to do the whole justice for Han thing, give Han justice for what happened to him previously. And so I thought, oh, okay, I discovered this movie, you know, when I did all the Fast and Furious movie reviews and now. So I discovered this movie and I'm like, oh, I should talk about this movie on the show when I talk about F9, because then they're kind of focusing on that character to a certain extent. So hey, now is the time. So without any further ado, let's talk about Han's secret origin here in Better Luck Tomorrow.
Do this by tomorrow, you get a 50.
What?
We don't have to play by the rules. We can make our own.
It's easy money.
It'll be fun.
We were putting the laws of supply and demand into practice. And then it snowballed.
You think you can break in?
It's gonna be a lot of money involved.
Our straight A's were our alibis. As long as our grades were there, we were trusted.
You think you can get away with anything, don't you?
Well, yeah, if you're clever enough.
Better Luck Tomorrow. A group of overachieving high school seniors enjoy a power trip when they dip into extracurricular criminal activities. If you thought this was going to be an action movie or a car movie, it's somewhere along the lines of a Fast and the Furious type movie. Not at all. That's not at all what this is. This is a high school drama coming of age movie meets a crime story movie. Interesting. Not exactly what I was expecting, but then again, I didn't really know what to expect going into this movie. All I knew is that Han was in it, so I should check it out to see, you know, what's up with him in the past. And something that did surprise me is that Han is not the main character of this movie. He's in it a decent amount. He's an important character, but he's an important, like, kind of secondary character. He's not one of the two main characters, I would say, in this movie. Because, like, the two main characters would be Perry Shin and Jason Tobin are the actors playing Ben and Virgil. And those two guys, they really seemed like kind of the core main characters. So much of what happens in this story revolves around them. And then you got, Han in here, and you got one other guy who, for some reason, I am not seeing his credit on IMDb, so I'm not sure who this guy is. But one other guy in the kind of core cast of characters here that kind of goes into some of this criminal activity here. And even looking at Han's character here, it's kind of like, oh man, This definitely is a different take on the Han that we see in the Fast and Furious movies, though that can very easily be explained by he's in high school here. This is when he's young. This is his younger years, young and dumb kind of thing, and he kind of he got a little bit older and a little bit wiser with the way he does some stuff in the future. And I think that could definitely explain away some of what I would consider some of the differences I see in character between the Han in Better Luck Tomorrow and the Han in the Fast and Furious franchise. But this core group of characters really kind of is why this movie works, because these characters are entertaining, they're enjoyable to watch, and their different personalities are fun and kind of wacky, kind of, and they kind of play off each other in a way that is enjoyable. And I think a large part of the movie really hinges on these characters and kind of their relationship with each other, and if that works, then the movie works. And ultimately that does work for me, and that's kind of just one of the big things that kind of made the movie work for me. John Cho is also in here as another secondary character. I really like John Cho. This isn't his best performance or anything, but he's pretty good in this. I think he does exactly what he's supposed to do in this movie, and it's good stuff. Storyline-wise, I think this is also an interesting movie because I think they do a good job at showing you how one thing leads to another. You know, all these people, that they don't really start off as criminals, right? They're just your, you know, what typical high schooler kind of thing going on. And then you see, you know, our main characters kind of take one little step in a direction, and then that leads to something bigger, that leads to something bigger, until, you know, they're doing bigger and worse and worse things as the movies go on, and that's, it's interesting. I think it's an interesting progression, and I was invested the whole way seeing where it all goes, even though I think it's kind of, the story is a little bit all over the place. I don't know, ups and downs. There's portions where it's, I don't know, seemingly unnecessary to the overarching story, just kind of some random stuff just kind of in there that didn't necessarily need to be in there, but the main progression of the story I thought was very interesting for the most part, and I definitely enjoyed that. This is a very narration heavy movie, like it's trying to be like Goodfellas or something, and that's fine, I guess. It's just I don't tend to like very narration heavy kind of movies. It's just, I don't know, I guess show don't tell kind of thing, right? Because it's always like saying, you know, oh, now we go and do this, or now I'm thinking this, or whatever, you know, and it's telling you stuff that's going on in the movie, and it's fine, but it's just, I guess it's just not my style of movie. Though, one of the quotes in the narration I did find funny, because they said that rumors about us came in fast and furious, and so it's like, I don't know if Justin Lin was like in talks or anything to get in the Fast and Furious franchise, or, I mean, I think the term Fast and Furious was around before the Fast and Furious movies, right? But like, I don't know, I guess I think it's funny that that phrase is in there, and then later this, not only does the director move on to Fast and Furious, but, you know, one of these characters moves over to Fast and Furious too, and it's like, oh, that's funny, that's interesting. I don't know if it's intentional like that. I don't know if he knew, or if it's kind of, you know, lucky happenstance kind of thing. Thematically, I touched on this earlier, but thematically this is about like making decisions and stuff. You know, it's about the you know, if you make a bad decision now, it'll lead to bigger decisions that, you know, are bad down the road, right? Small decisions lead to big decisions. Small sins lead to bigger sins ultimately. And so we need to stop it at the root. You know, we need to stop and don't make the little decision that is bad, because that will lead to something bigger, and that will lead to something worse, because that's how sin and evil works in the world, which is true. Honestly, that's a very good message. It kind of reminds me of like a Breaking Bad, that kind of message going on in this movie, though I guess Breaking Bad's way better than this. ultimately, this movie's decent. This movie, it's pretty good. It's pretty enjoyable. I like some of the characters. I was interested in the story the whole time. It never blew me away. It never was never like, whoa, that's an amazing, you know, movie or anything. But if you are intrigued to see the backstory of the Han character, you know, or if you want to just get, you know, all the backstory and all the Fast and Furious kind of stuff, this would be the most subdued Fast and Furious movie, if this is technically a Fast and Furious movie. But I enjoyed it, and again, it didn't blow me away, but I'm glad I watched it for seeing some of the connections to the Fast and Furious franchise, which is pretty cool. I would give this a 3.5 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
You know how you make decisions that lead to other decisions?
Gonna get us caught!
Then you don't remember why you made those decisions in the first place.
Get the gun! Get the gun!
Boom!
The Helix Reviews podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web, all funneled to ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. All right, now let's talk about Fast and the Furious 9.
Y'all ever thought about the wild missions we've been on?
We've taken out planes, trains, tanks. I'm not going to even think about the submarine. And now we got cars flying in the air? Who is he?
Jacob is Dom's brother.
F9. Cypher enlists the help of Jacob, Dom's younger brother, to take revenge on Dom and his team. I love the Fast and Furious franchise. This franchise is so bonkers, so crazy, but so much fun. I was wondering how they were going to do this with bringing in John Cena to be Vin Diesel's brother, to be Dom's brother. You know, it's like, how are they going to pull this off? How are they going to make this work? Introducing a completely new character that is a family member of the main character in the series, who is all about family, right? Who's like main focus in the series is always like, oh man, family, we gotta keep family together. That's always kind of thematically, it's always hitting on those kind of topics. And now suddenly we're bringing in this brother character, this blood family member character here that we've never heard of. How is this gonna work? How are we gonna actually introduce a character like that without it feeling forced? And I will say this in this movie, with that and another thing in this movie, it definitely feels forced to a certain extent. It feels like a retcon. It feels like they got to go back and they got to change some stuff around a little bit in order to make this work. And it feels like just kind of a classic comic book style retcon where they just, this person, and this is the reason for this, and they just kind of moving things around, and ultimately it works. Ultimately, they worked him into the story well enough, and I don't ever remember the Fast and Furious movies having flashbacks, but this has, you know, a couple flashbacks to show you, you know, who this brother is, to work him into the story some and stuff like that. And it works well enough. It's the kind of thing where you just gotta accept it. You just gotta be like, okay, you know, you just kind of, okay, I'll accept that this brother is here for this reason and this kind of stuff. But it is a weird thing, and it does feel like it's kind of, again, like I said, it's the comic book style retcon where they're just like moving things around to try to make it work because this is the story that they want to tell right now, where they didn't plan for this story beforehand. You know what I mean? That said, John Cena in this movie was very fun. I enjoyed him as Dom's brother, and I think that the relationship and stuff that they were playing with there, I think, is interesting. And I don't want to go into any spoilers, so, you know, I'll just say I enjoyed it. And you got the whole team back here, a lot of people, and they're all fun. You know, I enjoy this group of characters. Man, the cast in these movies are getting so gigantic. They brought back Jordana Brewster as Mia, who is Dom's brother, or Dom's sister here. But she's married. She's married to Paul Walker's character, who, you know, Paul Walker passed away, so obviously he's not in the movie. But it's like, how, I don't know, I guess bringing her back seems like a weird decision to me, because that makes it be like, wait, are you going to, like, try to bring back Paul Walker or something in some weird way? I don't know. I think that would be weird. I kind of think they should have probably just left her out of this, because, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's weird. I don't want him to try to bring back Paul Walker in some weird way, you know, whether that be CG or whatever, you know. Charlize Theron is back in this as Cypher, another villain character in here. And I'm glad to have her back. You know, she, Fast and the Furious 8 was not my favorite one, and that's the one she showed up in. But I am glad that they are having a recurring villain in here. I mean, that's, most of the movies, they have one, you know, villain, and it's one and done, and that kind of thing, and that's pretty much that. But I guess I like having kind of a recurring villain that has some history with the team a little more here, with Charlize Theron's character here, and she's decent in it. Helen Mirren here, in here a little bit, and she's great. She's so much fun. Kurt Russell, man, we need a Mr. Nobody spinoff. Kurt Russell in here playing Mr. Nobody. So much fun. It seems like he is having just a blast playing this character, and it's like, I want to see more of this character. I want to see, you know, if we're doing Hobbs and Shaw spinoff, we're doing all these spinoffs kind of stuff that they, it seems like they want to make this into kind of a cinematic universe. Make a Mr. Nobody movie. That would be a blast. Yes, bring it on. Michael Rooker is in this movie. The guy who plays Yondu is in this movie. I like this guy. This guy is so much fun, and he can be such a great actor. In this, he's fine, but this is such a wasted potential for this actor in this movie, in my opinion. He's just in this kind of throwaway role where, again, he's fine, but I don't know why it was Michael Rooker. This could have been anybody. I really like Michael Rooker, but he's in here just briefly, and it's just such a throwaway role that I'm just like, why are you even in this movie? You know what I mean? It's just weird. Cardi B shows up in this movie for like 10 seconds and then disappears forever. I have no idea why she was in this movie. I didn't think she did very good, but maybe it's just because the entire very short time that she's on the screen, I'm just looking at her going like, why is Cardi B in this movie? What? What? it's very strange. It's very odd. Why? What? Why? I don't know, but it's that, I guess. But as always, the characters are great. The characters are just a lot of fun in these movies, and they're really kind of, they're what holds these movies together. These movies, there's so much over-the-top, crazy, ridiculous action in these movies now, but what holds these movies together and what makes these movies good, you know, beyond just being like, oh, just kind of floofy spectacle kind of thing, which is very much in that kind of category. They're very fluffy, spectacle-y kind of stuff. But what makes these movies stand out, what makes these movies good, is these characters and these actors and this kind of big group of characters that they've kind of formed this family with in this movie and in the past movies that really works and makes these movies enjoyable. And I enjoy, you know, that aspect of this movie. And then, you know, moving on to the special effects and the all that kind of spectacle stuff. It's big, it's crazy, it's grand, it's insane. And yeah, I mean, they're every single time they're trying to up the ante even more and more. And it's pretty tough. They've pretty much, they're near the top of the limit of how far they can push this without pushing it too far, I think. But again, in this one, they're trying to push it, and they don't push it too far. It's still insane. It's still nuts. But the action is so much fun, over the top, ridiculous, but very, very fun. And there is definitely, I don't know, some of these characters, you know, like, I guess like you've seen with The Rock and some of these other characters in the movies earlier, but some of these characters are just straight up superheroes now. They're just straight up, you know, super strength and stuff, insane. But as long as you accept the ridiculousness, you don't take it too seriously, it's not taking itself too seriously, and you can just have a lot of fun with this movie. Very, very fun. And as you've seen in the trailers, they're like, oh, this is gonna be Fast and Furious in space and stuff. And you know what? They could have easily have made that bad. They could have easily, you know, they could have easily done a Moonraker and it's been like, eesh, okay, that was not good. No, they kept it good enough where they made it work, where yes, the whole going to space thing is okay. That works. it was very fun. And I mean, the big spectacle of it and everything is very cool. Though I will say, there are moments of CGI in this that's like, eesh, okay. Specifically, Like, anytime anything else is happening, it looks amazing. But whenever there's a person that is CGI, it looks a little fake to me. So it's like there's a couple times where you have a CGI Vin Diesel on top of a moving car or something crazy. And it's like, oof, okay, that doesn't look quite right. Whereas, you know, I'm sure some of the cars and or some of the stuff flying around is probably CGI, but all that stuff looks great to me. It's just when they try to do a person that it looks a little bit questionable to me. The story it's fine enough, honestly. It's nothing amazing. I mean, none of the Fast and Furious movies have an amazing story, but it's fine enough. It's not one of my favorites of them, though, because of the retconny kind of stuff. It feels like they're trying to fit stuff into the story, and it doesn't kind of naturally flow out of it. It feels like they're trying to put stuff in rather than it just naturally telling its own story, if you know what I mean. So the story here, it's decent, and I enjoyed where it went ultimately, but it's not one of my favorite of the Fast and Furious franchise in that respect. Thematically, of course, you got the whole family thing going on. Family is a great thing. Never give up on family kind of thing. But then with the added twist of the estranged brother, that is, out there, and he's the villain this time around. And it's like, oh my goodness, how is that going to work? And so there's, I think that does kind of add an interesting little twist on it there with the whole family dynamic. It doesn't go, it's not a deep movie by any means, so it's not like it's a deep exploration of this at all, but I think that does add a little bit of an interesting twist to that movie there. There's also this weird kind of pseudo, spiritual kind of, because Vin Diesel, I don't know if they're supposed to be like Christians or they're like spiritual or whatever. He's got a cross necklace and he talks about God occasionally in very vague terms. And again, in this movie, very vaguely, God is in your heart. But then he says to his daughter, he's like, God is in your heart. But then he also says, I am in your heart. And it's like, wait a minute, is Vin Diesel trying to say he's God or something? I don't know what's going on there. It was just kind of a weird little statement. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? It just feels like this kind of pseudo-spiritual, like, ooh, he's a good, positive role model character kind of thing that's in there when, I mean, in reality, I guess less so now, but in reality, these are a bunch of criminals and stuff working here that, for so many of these movies have been, stealing, robbing, killing, and are ultimately kind of bad people, but we root for them because, we follow them along, you know what I mean? Anyway. Oh yeah, I didn't mention it before, but with the Justice for Han thing going on in this movie. First off, I guess, did they get justice for Han? I guess. I honestly think they could have done more in some ways. I mean, maybe they'll do a little bit more in the future, but in some ways, this almost felt like getting around the whole Justice for Han thing as opposed to working through it or something, which, I mean, do we even need to address the whole Justice for Han thing personally? Like, I don't know, man. I don't even know that. That's just an internet thing of people being mad and stuff, even though to a certain extent I agree with them. But with the whole Justice for Han thing going on in this movie, they bring in more connections than ever to Better Luck Tomorrow. So I think I watched Better Luck Tomorrow at the perfect time, because I watched that and then went to this movie like the next day or 2 days later, like very shortly after, and I saw, oh, there's a couple different connections to this movie that goes back to that movie, and were there more connections in Tokyo Drift? I don't know. It's been a while since I seen Tokyo Drift, so maybe there was some more connections there. But with this movie, I saw, oh, there is a few direct connections to that movie that I found very interesting. So it seems like he's even more kind of trying to bring that movie into this world and just be like, yeah, this is the prequel story for Han's character here. And they touch on a bunch of different things in the Fast and Furious franchise, as they do now. They, like, the Fast and Furious franchise is trying to be a Marvel kind of thing where they kind of touch on all these different characters and all, you know, different characters from all the different movies and everything, and kind of building out this universe, even though thus far, with the exception of Hobbs and Shaw, it's only just been the main series, right? But I love to see all these little Easter eggs, all the references, and bringing in, you know, characters from other movies, even if it's just briefly, you know, because, you know, oh, this character from a previous movie that hasn't been in them for a while has to show up to help them along with, you know, one thing that's going on and stuff like that. It happens in this movie. Very cool, very fun, and I definitely enjoyed that aspect of the movie. I mean, ultimately, with F9, you know what you're getting into at this point. If you like the Fast and Furious, if you like what the Fast and Furious movies have become, then you're gonna like this movie. It's over the top, it's insane, it's ridiculous, a group of fun characters to carry you through this insane, inane action. But it's a blast, and it's a lot of fun. And it's not one of my favorite, it's a mid-tier Fast and Furious movie ultimately for me, but it's still very enjoyable. It's still a blast to watch. I would give F9 a 4 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
Been a long time, Dom. Little brother. You always say never turn your back on family. But you turned your back on me. Now your little family is in my world.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Helix Reviews Podcast. What did you think of F9? What did you think of Better Luck Tomorrow? Shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com, and let me know. Coming up on the show, I want to review Resident Evil Village because I'm playing that right now. I have a feeling I'm getting close to the end, so I imagine I could finish it up and get a review out to you guys fairly shortly here. And also, there's a few movies coming up here that I want to see. I also kind of want to look back at some of the movies I missed, because there was several movies that happened real quick within the past month or so that I missed, and so I just want to kind of make an episode and go back and hit on a few of those different ones. So yeah, look forward to that. That's it for now. This is David Arrington, the Helix Reviews Podcast, signing off. Bye-bye, guys.